The Asian Classics Institute presents The Art of Reasoning with Geshe Michael Roach, recorded live in New York City in March of 1998.
This is the beginning of Class 10.
When he does it, I don't listen either. But they're quite serious now, so no drinks or food inside here or in the lobby at all, okay? When you leave tonight, please be sure the place is spotless. Please don't abuse the maintenance guy. He's very upset at us, and you know, it's sort of depressing because we're supposed to be Buddhists and we're supposed to be all very compassionate and considerate of other people, and then sometimes I'm embarrassed by what we do, you know. On a normal human, we care for all sentient beings, but not for the people in the Quakerhouse, I don't know. But we have to be better at it, okay? They really didn't want to renew past Thursday, and we only after long talks. There is no other place. We looked at a synagogue. They asked us for $2,000 a night. And, you know, I can't find any other place in the village. So if we get kicked out of here, I don't know. We could do, what's that, Tompkins Square Park, but it's kind of busy at night. So, you know, so very serious, okay? This is a great deal as places go, as far as the cost of it. So we really will get kicked out. They were very clear, and they said probably not, no matter what we do, we probably can't get another booking here after the next course, but at least let's not. If they said if there's a bad night, they'll just ask us to leave, you know. So please, no food or drink at all. I don't know how we're going to take a break. I guess just have some air or something. Maybe you could go outside and drink or eat something. Okay. Sorry about that. If you can find a better place, you know, be happy to. Please look. Okay. I mean, this place was found by somebody just walking by one day. And if you find anything, let John know or let Oren know, okay? All right. The reading tonight, I didn't finish the whole reading. What you're getting, I don't know, did they get it yet? No. In the break? Did you get a reading yet? No. Okay. It's a very nice thing called the Chitogye. Say Chitogye. Chitogye. It's the monastic debating schedule at Serame. Okay, and this is a very ancient document and an ancient system. And I got a hold of a very ancient, a copy of a very ancient thing that describes how the schedule goes for the whole Dharma schedule for the whole year. So it's kind of cool. You can see how it goes from semester to semester and what things they do at what times during the year and stuff like that. So I think you'll enjoy it. It's down to the day, you know. And typically there are 8 debating sessions per year. On the first one, there's a thing called Yartok, and they all meet together and they do special prayers. Then they count heads. They count how many monks are there. And then the next 2 days are called Xinglong, and that's begging for firewood. And on the first day, you go out to the suburbs, the villages around Hwasa City, and you ask for firewood. And the families have it ready for you because they know the monks come on that day. And then the next day, you go to Hwasa City and you collect firewood. And this is firewood enough for 15 days. Then you debate for maybe a week or 2 weeks. And then there are Damcha Chemo, which means the great Geshe debates. And throughout the year, Geshes are being examined. Normally, every year, 2 Soramba Geshes, 2 or 4 Tsogramba Geshes, which is number 2, 4 Lingse Geshes, which is number 3, and then a bunch of Rigram Geshes, which are the lowest level. And then there'll be Rigchen and Rigchung, which are pre-Geshe examinations. So that whole schedule and the whole special year, all the events of the year at Serame, we got a hold of that. And then Ken Rinpoche took a long time and clarified a lot of difficult points on it. So I'm thinking it'll be useful in the future in America when we decide on our schedules and we can design it after Serame's debating schedule. It's a very nice schedule. It's a rigorous schedule. And I thought it would just be useful for you to see it. And it's kind of beautiful to see how they spend the whole year. It's about 10 pages long, the whole annual calendar. And then I gave you the original. It's a handwritten copy of the original chart. So you can take like 3 months and try to figure that out. It's in cute. It's in script, okay? And it looks kind of cool. It's totally incomprehensible. But if you want to, you can, you know, some of the people who are studying that can try to see if they can understand that, okay? Tonight we're going to do, say Tusum Namshat. Tusum Namshat. Tu means time, like Kala Chakra is Dunkor, okay? The wheel of time. Sum means the 3 times, past, present, and future, okay? Namshak means all about that thing, or the presentation of the 3 times. And that's the final lecture in this series of 10. Is I thought it was kind of cool. I had students asking me about what do Buddhists think about the nature of time. And I thought it'd be interesting for you guys to see how they present it in each of the schools. It's a big point of departure from the different schools. One of the points that differentiates Madhyamika Prasangika, the highest Madhyamika from all other schools, is what they think about the nature of time. So I thought I'd give you a little bit of that also. So tonight, mainly, we'll get it from the by the way, it's not just some kind of, I mean, it's interesting philosophically, but it's not the only point. By the end of tonight, we'll be talking about the emptiness of time. And that's really where we're trying to get to. Okay, it's not just an interesting discussion about the nature of time. It also applies a lot to the nature of emptiness. Okay, say dedopa, dodepa? Dodepa? Dodepa, I translate it as Sutrist school. Okay, they are the higher of the 2 Hinayana schools in the great 4 schools of India. Okay, so Sutra school. Why are they called Sutras? Because they put a lot of emphasis on using Sutra to prove things. Okay, there are a couple of groups inside the Dodepa, and tonight we're going to talk about the say Rigpe Jedang. Rigpe Jedang. This is a part of the Dodepa that follows logic much more than the other part, which more follows scripture, and they're called Rigpa Jedang. Rigpa means logic, and Jedang means followers of logic. So the whole presentation that I'm going to give you on the nature of time tonight comes from the logic followers inside the Sutra school, okay? And they have special beliefs that the other sutra school doesn't have, that the other parts of the sutra school doesn't have. But this presentation is going to be on the nature of time from their point of view. Okay? The ideas of this school are kind of cool. If you think about it, you will probably accept their school. If I didn't tell you we don't accept this school, you probably wouldn't have any problem with it. And it raises a lot of questions. For me, when I read this stuff, in the Abhidharma, there's a big debate about time in the third chapter. There's a big debate here, and there's a big debate when you get to Majjhimika Prasangika. And every time I come out like dizzy, because I can't figure out what's going on afterwards. You know what I mean? I forget. I can't figure out what's right. You know what I mean? And I'm not afraid to admit it. Anyway, we'll just go with them. And I think this is the kind of thing we have to go home and think about it. I can't stand up here and give you everything about this tonight. I'll give you what they say. But you have to go home and figure it out, okay? And it's going to take a few days of thinking about it, okay? It's just the nature of time. If you start thinking about time carefully, you get confused. To me, it's the nature of time. You know, thinking about time is, you know, you start to get lost right away, okay? Say Deba. Deba. Deba means past time, time which is in the past. Tatawa? Technically, this is Tatarwa. Okay, Tatarwa. And in colloquial, it gets changed to Tanda. Tanda, okay? But I put it halfway between, okay? Tatawa. Tatawa means the present tense, okay? Present time. And Maomba means, Ma means not, and Omba means to come. Not come yet means the future. Okay, the future. The discussion of the three times. By the way, I put in two sexy parts from the discussion of it. One is pure dialectic. Two guys go at it about the nature of time, and I think that's very interesting. And just to see how they punch it out is very, it's very, very interesting to me. You're not going to get that reading tonight, sorry, okay? So you better take good notes tonight. But this part is not going to be in your reading. I just didn't have time. The other thing took like 20 hours or something, you know, figuring out the schedule thing. So take good notes, all right? And I'll try to get it all to you before you take your quiz, your final or something. I'll try to finish one at least by Thursday, okay? They start out the discussion by asking, oh, and then I give you the Rang Luke, okay? Then I give you our own position, okay? Which is, you know, only a couple of pages long. They start out by saying, what shall we give as the definition of the past and the future? And since you have to write this on your quiz and homework and all that, you'll be glad to know there isn't any. Okay? Because it's say mebena teni me mebena teni me. Okay, mebena means look, it doesn't even exist. Mepa means they don't exist. And so mebena teni me means they don't have any definition. There is no definition. Okay, they don't exist. In this school, the past and the future, the past is gone. Can't see it anymore. Doesn't do anything. It's just gone. It doesn't exist. Future isn't here yet. Okay, so how can you define it? There is no definition. Okay, I mean, in what do you call it? In non-relative sense, in an absolute sense. Okay, now I'm qualifying it, right? In a non-relative sense or in an absolute sense, the future doesn't exist yet, and the past has already gone into non-existence. So you can't have a definition. There is no definition because those things don't exist. You can't have a definition, teni, without a tunja, right? Without a thing to be defined, you can't have a definition, okay? And they just don't exist. You can't see the future didn't happen yet. The past already happened. They're gone. Past is gone. Future's not here yet. They don't exist. You don't need a definition for them. Okay? Finished. That was easy. Okay. But, okay, relative to a particular object, which is existing now. Okay, see, in absolute terms, this is their school, okay, so don't pick on me, all right? Probably I couldn't do anything better, actually. In absolute terms, the past and the future don't exist. Now, if you say in terms of a certain object, you know, can we establish a past relative to this current object that exists here? And can we establish a future relative to this particular object? They say yes. Okay. Now here's the definition of the past, for example, relative to a particular object. Okay. Two parts. Say Pumbe, Tusu, Ke Simba. Pumbe, Tusu, Ke Simba. Pumbaa means a water pitcher. Pumbaa Tusu means in the time of the water pitcher. Okay, like if the water pitcher is here at 8 o'clock. Okay? Pumbaa Tusu means in the time or relative to the time of the water pitcher. Okay? That the water pitcher is present. Okay? Pumbaa Tusu means relative to the time that the water pitcher is present, say 8 o'clock. Okay? The first requirement for something to be past tense is that it should have already started or begun. Okay, ke simba. Ke means began. Simba means already. Tusu means at the time of Pumbaa, the water pitcher. So at the time that the water pitcher is already there, we're trying to define the past relative to a water pitcher, right? So relative to a current water pitcher, a present water pitcher of the present moment, the first requirement of the past is that it should have already begun by the time that you have the water pitcher. How about by the time for Dusu, okay? By the time you have the water pitcher, it should have already begun, this past thing, okay? Second requirement, say Pumbaa, Tusu, Ga, Simba. Pumbaa, Tusu, Ga, Simba. Okay, Pumbaa Tusu is the same. By the time of the water pitcher, okay, by the time of the water pitcher, Ga Simba means it must have already stopped also. Okay, it must have already stopped also. So, by the time of the water pitcher, now we have a point of reference, okay? By the time of the water pitcher, which is present time, 8 o'clock water pitcher, it should have already begun and already stopped. And in logic, in the debate ground, you better be careful to say, by the time of the water pitcher, blah, 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 and by the time of the water pitcher, blah, blah, blah. If you leave one out, you're in trouble, okay? You have to say it this way. The definition of the past relative to a water pitcher is by the time the water pitcher exists, it should have begun, and by the time the water pitcher exists, it should have stopped already. And that's the way you have to answer it in the debate ground. If you get lazy and only put in one by the time of the water pitcher, you get blasted by your opponent, which you can already feel what it feels like, right? A little bit. Okay. Yeah. All right. They're just waiting for something like that. And they won't tell you right away. They'll play you along for about 20 minutes, like a fish on a hook. And then they'll start reeling you in. Yes, Kevin Martin. That's what I just said you better not say. Just technically speaking, because that can be phrased, by the time of the water pitcher, it should have begun. And, by the way, it should have ended. You see, whether or not there's what you call in English grammar distribution of the clause to both parts of the statement, it's not clear. You see, it can be ambiguous, and in logic, you have to straighten it out. You have to repeat it, okay? It's a custom. It saves you a lot of grief in the debate ground if you do that, okay? If I was going to give you the definition of the of the present now, okay? It's something like this. The first part is the same, bumbe dusu, which means by the time of the water pitcher, okay? The dot, dot, dot is bumbe dusu. By the time of the water pitcher, say, tup simba. Tup simba. It should have already happened, okay? It should have already happened. Dup means it already happened. It came out already, okay? It already happened. We're talking about time itself, right? Time itself. It should have already happened then. Pumba dang. Say pumba dang. Tunyam. Pumba dang. Tunyamba. Okay. Pumba dang in Tibetan you have to say. Pumba means water pitcher. Dang du nyam means going on at the same time. Simultaneous. Okay. Du means time. Nyamba means equal. Dang here means with. Equal time with the pitcher. Okay, so the definition of what? The present. Okay, the definition of the present. For a water pitcher. Okay, the definition of the present relative to a water pitcher is it should have occurred by the time of the water pitcher. Okay, and it should be simultaneous to the water pitcher. That time, which has occurred by the time of the water pitcher and which is simultaneous to the water pitcher, is called the present time. Relative to the water pitcher. Right? Okay? You all right? Okay, it'll get worse. Okay. So, Geshimba. Geshimba. Those of you who are learning Tibetan, Shimba means to be in the act of something, like present, what do you call it, present progressive tense or something like that. To be in the process of, kye means beginning. It is in the act of beginning. Okay? It is in the process of beginning. Kye Shimba. Makyepa, say makyepa. Makyepa. But it hasn't begun yet. Okay? And the dot, dot, dot is Pumbedusu. By the time of the water pitcher. 8 o'clock. Okay? By the time of the water pitcher. It is in the act of becoming or occurring, and it hasn't occurred yet. It hasn't started yet. Okay? And that's the definition of the Boo. Momentani Yata. You telling me there's a definition for the future? Huh. Moment. Yeah. I said Ke Shimba. Ke Masimba. Yeah, momentini. So that thing which is in the process of occurring and which hasn't occurred yet is the definition of the future. Momentini. Yeah, Ke Lembeche. You said so. Now you say Dhammadu. Make up your mind. Here's a do over here. Yimbata. Momentani yimbata. You tell me that's the definition of the future? Momentani yimbata. Momentani yata. So you're telling me there is a definition of the future? Scripture said, the book says, mebe na, huh, deba da maomba mebe na teni mebe echer. It's said. Shesumbeche, you have to get used to, okay? Shesumbeche means, look, the book said, because it doesn't exist, mepe na, teni mebeche. There's no definition for it. Shesumbeche, beja na ya. So you contradict scripture, right? Gyawa yimbata. Kelengoba yimbeche. Kelengoba yimbeche. You have to accept that. You have to accept the scripture. Kelengoba yimbeche.
The scripture is interpretable.
This is a Yongzin. This is Kuten Choksumbing Yongzin Yimbeche. This is the teacher of the 13th Dalai Lama. Yongzin came on that. So you don't accept the teacher of the 13th Dalai Lama?
It's an interpretive
teaching. Changzin Yimbata. Huh? Changzin Yimbata. You tell me it's figurative, he says. It's figurative. Changzin Yimbata. Yimbata. Tell me it's figurative?
Yeah.
Yedin Ma Yimbata. Not literal?
Yeah.
Not literal. So, sunu yim. So whose position is it? If it's not the Rigpe Jai Dangi Dodepa, if it's not those logic group within the sutra school, then whose position is it? Right? Must be somebody else's. Must be somebody else's. Yata. Is it somebody else's? Chera mawa yimbata. Must be Abhidharma school, I guess. No, Chera mawa says deba dama maomba. They accept that it's a thing, functioning thing. Forget it. Not only they say they exist, they say they're a working thing, past and the present.
Yeah.
So it's not an Abhidharma school. Well, I guess, well, whose school is it? You said it's figurative, so it must be somebody else's school. Now, anyway, you can go like that. And each school has its own belief. No, you can go. All right, yeah. You did pretty good. Indefensible position just keeps stalling, okay? keep moving on, you know. Another thing. And hopefully the debate master will ring the bell, you know. Okay. Keshenba. No, it was a good debate, though. It was a good debate. Pretty good. Keshenba Makyapa. Okay? That's the... So what is that the definition of? Why did we get in that argument? Somebody said that's the definition of future. Would you like to amend yourself? Yeah, relative to a pitcher. Okay, relative to the time of a water pitcher. Okay? There is no definition for the future. Because the future doesn't exist. Okay? All right. Now some tricky ones. Where is that? I get into bed, I always lose the pen. They're debating outside already. Yeah. Excuse me? I'm not biting right now. We'll get there. Okay, he asked me if a future water pitcher exists. We'll talk about it. Let me finish and then we'll debate it, okay? Say, Pumbegyu. Pumbegyu. I'm going to list 15 different ideas, okay? 15 different ideas. And you tell me if they exist or not, okay? Well, no, let's not do it that way. We'll do Bumpa Gyu. That's one. What is, Bumpa is what? Water pitcher. Gyu?
Cause
of the water pitcher. Okay, now I'll give you another one. Say Bumpa. Debu. Bumpa Debu. The result of a water pitcher. Okay, Bumpa Debu. Say ngopo. Ngopo. Means what?
Working thing.
Now, this is where it gets tricky, okay? And I lose it sometimes, so if you catch me, just tell me. I'm not shy about it, okay? Cause of the water pitcher. Present or future? I'm sorry, present, past, or future? Yeah, okay. I mean, I would say past, right? Relative to the time of the water pitcher, because generally speaking, it could be present also, right? I mean, he's right. In this school, it has to be present, okay? If I say the cause of a water pitcher, it has to be present, okay? Because in their school, by the time it's gone, it doesn't exist anymore. Okay? In their school, if the Bumpa's already here, if the water pitcher has already occurred, then the cause of the water pitcher doesn't have any status anymore as an existing object. It's gone. Come on. It's already done its thing. It spent itself in producing that baby, and it dies. Okay? So it's gone. Okay? So, from one point of view, the cause is... It has to be present tense if it exists, right? then again, causes always come before the thing, so they're past. Right? A little tricky. Starting to get greasy, okay? Same with Bumbha Dubu, okay? Relative to the time of the Bumbha, yeah. She said, look, didn't you say many times that even the highest schools of Buddhism accept that by the time the result has come out, the cause is gone? But as a process, you can say that the thing exists, you know? Which school are you in?
No, that's not what I... What? The definition that you just gave, according to this school,
yeah,
was relative to this object in the present, you can nominally say that the past occurred.
Yeah, and she's saying this. What she's saying is this. I ask you, does the past exist in this school?
No.
Does the past of a specific object exist?
Yes.
In this school, yeah. That's what you're trying to say. Yeah, yeah. She's just pointing out the difference between that. So you can say that the cause of a water pitcher exists in the present as a past thing. How's that? All right?
So
the cause of a water pitcher exists in the present as a past thing, okay? In this school, yeah. Bubegyu tatawa meata. Bubegyu tatawa meata. So in this school, in the present time, there's no cause for a water pitcher. Bubegyu tatawa meata. De. Okay. Take the cause of the next moment's water pitcher. Okay? Komeata. So I guess it doesn't exist, right? So I guess that's not a cause for the water pitcher. Oh, it is not a cause for the water pitcher. We're talking about the... So you're telling me, like, this microphone is different from the microphone that was here when I started? Are they 타대임바타? You said different. Okay? Are they different things? So there's two microphones, right? I thought I had a lot already. Anyway, we can go all night on that. I'd love you to debate it, okay? Feel free. But not when the Quaker House is going to threaten us with throwing us out. Okay, if we go over. And then Ngopo is a working thing, and you could say it exists in the present time. Okay? If it's doing something, it better be existing now. Okay? I'm going to throw you some... This is a game I played on your homework, okay? I better check them off one by one. I'll give you the easy ones first. Now, don't forget, we have three choices. I'm giving you three choices. Now I'm going to start making lists. You tell me which one of those three choices fit the things I'm going to write now. Okay? What are your three choices? Cause of the picture, result of the picture, or working thing. Okay? I'll give you some easy ones to get you used to it. Okay? We'll call them 1, 2, 3. Okay? Number one is cause of the picture. Number two is result of the picture. Number three is a working thing. Yeah. Say, kechigma. Kechigma. Something that only lasts a moment. Okay? Kechigma. Which of the three does it best fit into? Number three. Okay? Kechigma and ngopo are same thing, refer to the same thing. Obviously, the other two are also kechigma, but the one that best fits is ngopo. Okay? A working thing is by definition a thing which only lasts a moment. It is changing by the microsecond. As it asserts its effect, it is changing. It's wearing out. Okay? Kechigma. That's an easy one. Let's find a better one. How about... Say, ke shimba. Ke shimba. Ge means growing or starting or beginning. And Shimba means in the act of, right? In the act of beginning. I'm putting my pen away so I can debate the first person who bites. Which one? What's means, alright, come and get it. Make my day. Kishim, number two, Yimbata. Kari. Which one? Upadebu. Kishimba. In the act of beginning. That which is in the act of beginning. By the way, I'll give you a fourth choice. Nah, that's not fine. In this school, Kishimba Karishan. Huh? Kishimba is a you. Yimbata. Keshimba, that which is in the process of beginning. Keshimba mayin, okay? It didn't happen yet, okay? That's a clue, Mr. Siller. Keshimba chuchin, kari. Gyu is here. Gyu happened because the pitcher's already here. Keshimba, Keshimba karishat. Keshimba. Keshimba, that which is in the, I'll give you another, I'll repeat my clue. Keshimba mayin, okay? It didn't happen yet. Okay. It's a trick question. It's also a trick question on your homework, okay? What does it most describe in your mind? That which is about to occur. How's that? Huh? No, I mean, just in general, what is it? Past, present, or future? Future. And in this school, doesn't exist, okay? None of the above doesn't exist. In this school, doesn't exist, okay? In this school, there's no such thing as that which is about to occur. Okay. In the Bumbe Dusu Keshimba, is there anything which is about to occur relative to the time of the water pitcher? Yeah, the water pitcher of the next moment. And that's fine. And you can call that the future. But until you give it a point of reference, it doesn't exist. Okay. You got to get used to that. Okay. Here's one more. Say, Pumbala, Tote, Maumba. Pumbala, Tote, Maumba. Pumba means water pitcher. Tote means relative to, okay? Relative to. Relative to the water pitcher. Maumba. Didn't come yet. Which of the three? Or we have a fourth known, right? Which of the three? Now, does it describe the cause of the water pitcher, the result of the water pitcher as a working thing, or is it something that in this school couldn't exist anyway? That thing which, relative to the water pitcher, has not yet occurred. It's the result, okay? As long as we put the qualifier, you know, relative to an existing water pitcher, that thing which has not occurred yet is the result of the water pitcher. Got it? Okay. I'm doing all the easy ones first, okay? This is going to be difficult because we're out of transparency. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll keep running here. Say, Pumbe, Tusu, Depa. Pumbe, Tusu, Depa. Pumba means water pitcher. Tusu means by the time of the water pitcher. Depa means past already. Does it describe the cause, the result, or the water pitcher itself, or nothing, none of the above? Cause. Okay? The cause of the water pitcher. By the time of the water pitcher, it is past. Okay? By the time of the water pitcher, the cause is past. Okay? Yeah. Dusu depa, just dusu depa, or just depa? If you didn't put bumbala dute, yeah. If you didn't put in the relative to the water pitcher, you'd be in trouble. Then it would be a non-existent thing, okay? Which isn't a thing anyway. Okay, does that work?
Oh, cool.
Present tense. Makes it present tense. Okay, thank you. Okay. Okay. Let me do Siddhipa. Here's the one I have a problem with. If you get this one, then I think you'll be okay. Abhidharma has a lot of difficult ones. Say, Pumbe, Maomba. Pumbe, Maomba. Future for a water pitcher. Future for a water pitcher. Anyway, the text clearly says, Bumbegyu. Okay? Bumbegyu, the cause of a water pitcher. It's future for a water pitcher. You tell me. I mean, that makes it easy. Bumbegdusu Maomba is very clear, right? That would be the thing which is future at the time of the water pitcher. This just says, in the Tibetan, future for a water pitcher. And it fits into the cause of a water pitcher. Okay? Not the future causes. Well, maybe the future causes, but he didn't say that. I think you have to cook it a little bit, okay? This is the tough one for me. This is the tough one for me. And in the Abhidharma, when you study it deeply, you have to get into this feeling of relativity. Is the future coming towards you? Is the future something that hasn't come yet? Or is the future something that you are moving through and in a sense it already exists? And then it goes into the past, and then the future becomes the past. And you have to struggle with those things. The text says, this best describes the cause of the pitcher. Future for the pitcher. Okay? There's a thing in Majjhimika where, in a sense, the pitcher is the cause for the cause of the pitcher. It's easy to say that the cause of the pitcher is the cause for the pitcher. But is the pitcher, which occurs later, the cause for the cause of the pitcher? Can you say that? By the way, I'm up at Majjhimika Prasangika now, okay? You can see it in Pabongka Rinpoche's commentary. Is there any sense in which the water pitcher can be a cause for the cause of the water pitcher? In what sense? She said it wouldn't be a cause if there wasn't a water pitcher. Yeah, you couldn't call it the cause of the water pitcher until the water pitcher has occurred. So from that point of view, the cause of a water pitcher is future relative to the water pitcher. You see what I mean? From that point of view. There isn't any cause of a water pitcher until a water pitcher has occurred. So it has to wait until the water pitcher has occurred before it becomes the cause of the water pitcher. Now, is that what they mean here? I don't think so. I'm just flirting with you, okay? You figure it out, okay? I don't know. Huh? That's almost the same thing, though. You see, thinking of the water pitcher as the water pitcher can't occur until the water pitcher occurs, you mean something like that? Yeah, this is talking about, well, is it or isn't it? It's talking about the cause of the... He says they're talking about the cause of the water pitcher. Let's do an easier one. I was at the San Diego Zoo with my niece and nephews, and I saw Miss Frizzle do her thing. Miss Frizzle? Yeah, the fathers know. Okay. And she just keeps going. I guess she's like a children's daytime show thing. Okay. By the way, this other one. At what point, for whom is the pitcher future? How about we translate it as pitcher future? For whom is the pitcher future? For which of the three is the pitcher future? For the for the cause of the picture. Okay, so in that sense, maybe it fits. How's that? Okay, if you translate it as picture future, how's that? Okay, for which of the three is picture future? For the cause of the picture. And they say cause of the picture best describes Bumbe Mauma. Okay, how about that? Let's do it that way. Sounds good. Okay, picture future. For whom is picture future? For the cause of the picture. Okay, now we have picture past. Okay, Bumbe Depa. Picture past. For whom is picture past? The result of the picture. Okay, but this best describes the result of the picture. Okay, lost yet? All right, let's do a little more. It'll get worse. That's why I didn't give you a reading, to make it really interesting. I got one more here that's kind of cool. Yeah. Absolute. Everything I'm listing now is absolute. By itself, what do those phrases describe? Yeah. Yeah, not relative to anything else. Yeah, I have not given any other qualifier. Okay. Okay, one more easy one. Say Jik Shimba. Jik Shimba. Jik Shimba means, Jik means destruction or being destroyed. Okay? And Shimba means in the act of, or in the process of being destroyed. We already had Geshimba in the act of starting. And which of the three did it fit into? What? None of the above. It was a non-existing thing. Okay? That thing which is in the act of beginning but has not begun yet doesn't exist. Okay? In this school, you're describing the future. In an absolute sense, not relative to anything else. And that doesn't exist in this school. Okay? But how about Jikshimba? That thing which is in the act of being destroyed. Yeah? Lopo. Great. Thanks, Kepa Machung. Okay? It describes a current thing. It describes this pen. It's in the act of falling apart. It's in the act of being destroyed. Okay? So don't get fooled. In the act of beginning, don't count for nothing in this school. It's Mepa. Doesn't exist. In the act of falling apart or being destroyed, that describes the present. Okay? That describes present. As all of us can attest to our over 40. Okay? take a break. 10 minutes. When you get back, we'll do the highest school's version of time. All right? A quick overview of what the Tengyua think about the past and the future. Okay? The higher Majjhimika school, the Prasangika. What do they think about the past and future? They say all three times are functioning things. Okay? They say all three times are working things. They don't like it when the sutras say a past pen, for example, doesn't exist. They don't like that. Okay? They say more or less it exists, but it exists as a past pen. Okay? And that's a distinction. I'm going to give you two reasons. This comes on your homework, all right? There are two arguments that you can find in Majjhimika Prasangika for why are the past, present, and future all working things. By the way, the lowest school, which is what? The Abhidharma schools by Bhashyaka, they also say that the past, present, and future are all working things. But they say it for a much different reason, and they're wrong, okay? So they say the same thing, but they don't say it for the right reason, okay? The highest school and says that all three times exist as working things, okay? I'll give you two reasons why. And they get into this fight because of karma, okay? Like the big question is, how can a deed which I do today affect me 1,000 years from now? Why? You know, either it stops or it doesn't stop. If it stops, how can it do anything? How can it affect me? And then the different schools get into huge arguments. Some people say, this school wouldn't say that, but some South Trantika some sutras would say, well, future karma and future and past karma do exist. Okay? The past and the future don't exist. Past karma and future karma do exist. I mean, they get out of it that way. Some of them would say, when you commit a deed, it plants a bachar. Where? Well, then the mind only school says in your kunshi namashepa, okay? In your alaya vijnana, in another part of your mind, which is only function of it is to store seeds of karma. So the original impetus, the original deed is finished and it is gone and it doesn't exist anymore. But there's been an imprint put on your mind, and that imprint replicates where? In a separate consciousness, in a separate part of your mind, until the day that it meets the conditions that make it ripen. Okay? Yeah? I'm sorry, what? No, not separate. They wouldn't say separate. They said it's the same continuum of the same. They would say it's a continuum of the same mind. I mean separate in the sense of separate from your eye, ear, nose, taste, mental. They say separate from the six consciousnesses. They in fact say there are several other consciousnesses which the other schools don't accept. Okay. One of them is foundation consciousness, which is the storehouse consciousness where it stores, yeah. Yeah, it is the lower of the two Mahayana schools. Yeah, of the two greater way schools, Mahayana. So down here is mind only, sometimes known as Yogacara. And then up here, Madhyamika divided into two parts, lower Madhyamika and higher Madhyamika. So it is the lower of the two Mahayana schools. Okay, four great schools in India, two of them Hinayana, two of them Mahayana. Okay. The next schools up say, well, the karma stays in your... I'm sorry, Abhidharma school would say that the karma stays in your five heaps as they travel on, in the stream of the five heaps. Okay? And then the lower Madhyamika school would say, no, the karma stays... By the way, they wouldn't say the karma stays, but the bhakchak, the seed created by the deed, stays in your mental consciousness and floats on from year to year in your mental consciousness, stays there. Okay? Now, what does the highest school say? And this is how we get into the argument. This is how the whole argument begins, okay, of time itself. And they say, look, when you commit a karma... By the way, up to now, especially in the Diamond Cutter Sutra, I taught you the last one I just said. I didn't teach you the ultimate one. Okay, here's the ultimate one, all right? They don't stay in your mind stream. They stay in Tesi. They are carried... in Tessie. Alright? They are carried in Winston. Alright? In the person. As a projection. The projected person. They are carried throughout time. The reason a million years can go by between hitting someone on the head and getting hit 10,000 times on the head is not that that karma sits around for a million years. It's that a mental seed is created which is carried on by the person that you think you see because you're forced to see that by past karma. Now that gets very subtle. And that's why I didn't bring it up yet. Okay? I'll say it again. It doesn't just stay in your mind and float on through the next million years. It stays with you as you are projected by your mind. Forced to do so by your past karma. And that's where karma really stays. Okay, that's how Madhyamika answers. So the first part, if your homework said, give two reasons why the highest Madhyamika school says the past and the future are working things. Okay, let me see which one I put first. In the case of a karma, that's how it's done. It's a karma of the past can still affect you because a mental seed is planted in you as a projection of your own mind. Okay? If you want to explain it to somebody in an easy way, in a figurative way, you'd say, oh, you see this seed gets planted in your mind and is carried until it ripens. And that's what I always tell you, right? I mean, ultimately, not even that. It is carried in your projection of yourself as you move through time. As you continue to project yourself, forced to do so by your past karma, you continue to project the existence of those bhakchaks. It's very cool. Okay? Makes sense. It's getting much, it's just getting more and more accurate. It's not so, yeah. And you're continuing to project a thing called Jehan. Okay? So the bhakchaks, or the mental, the seeds of karma in Jehan's being, keep being projected too by Jehan. And they exist, or they're carried on in the Jehan that you keep thinking that you see. Now, is that a real Jehan? Absolutely. Why? Because you're just projecting it. Wait a minute. If I'm projecting it, he's not real. Sorry, Nagarjuna said, Jetsankapa said, because you're projecting him, he's real. And if you weren't projecting him, he couldn't be here. Because if you weren't projecting him, he couldn't change, for example. But we know he changes, because first he gets up and says, you can drink stuff in the back, and then he gets up and says, you can't drink stuff in the back. You know what I mean? So he must be a projection. Okay? Yeah. She said, can you describe how they stay in the mind-only school, how they stay in the foundation consciousness? The description of how they're planted there by being present. And the description of how they go on by replicating. And the description of how they ripen by meeting the appropriate conditions is all the same. It's all accepted by the higher schools of Buddhism. We just don't accept that you have to make up a separate kind of consciousness for those little dudes to live in, because they stay in Leon, as projected by Leon. Okay, that's all. All right. I asked my teacher that question once. Okay. Now the easier answer to the question of why does the higher school think something past or future could still be working? Okay. Now I'll give you the easier one. They say, put your mind on a pen at the moment of its destruction. Does the destruction of the pen have a cause according to you, Dodepas, you Rigpe Jedongs, okay? You logic group in the sutra school. Come on. I ask you. Jigpe Gyu, are you? Okay? Is there a cause for the destruction of the pen? Yeah. Duh. So, pen shikpa, shikpe gyuyata. So there must be a cause of the past pen. Now they get that jump in your head and you've solved the question. Okay, get that jump in your head and you've solved the question. What is the jump? Does the destruction of the pen have a cause? Yes. So does the pen, which is past, have a cause? Yeah. So how can you say it's not a functioning thing? How can you say it's not a working thing? Anything that has a cause, anything which is caused, anything which is produced, anything which is grown, anything which is lasts only for a moment, anything which has a working, it's all the same thing. I'll go through it one more time. It's hard for me, sometimes I forget. Does the destruction of this pen have a cause? Yeah. The dog comes in and chews it up. Okay. What's the next moment? There's a destroyed pen, right? Destroyed pen. Does that have a cause? A pen which is past. Yeah. It's destruction. It's destruction. Okay? So if it has a cause, it must be a limpo, right? He can't say Dhammadru. He can't say Chichir. Okay? He can't say no. Okay? And that's all. That's how the mighty big person can beat them. Okay? They say, does the destruction of it have a cause? Yes. So the destroyed pen has a cause, right? Yeah. So it's a working thing, right? Right. So the past is a working thing, right? They don't want to admit it, but they have to, okay? Object past, how's that? Object past. Yeah, but once you prove a past object, you can prove the past. I mean, it doesn't matter, right? If a past object is a working thing, then the past is a working thing. One more thing. We'll get to that later. By the way, and they say that's true because you can't go around saying that there are causes for the birth of a thing and then say the thing has no causes. They give them a Rigpa Gotsum. Okay, Rigpa Gotsum means parallel reasoning. And I'll give it to you one more time. Does a thing have its causes? Does the beginning of a thing have it? I'm sorry. Does the beginning of a thing have its causes? Yes. So does that thing have its causes? Yes. So does the beginning of the destruction have it? Does the destroying have its causes? Yes. So therefore the destroyed thing has its causes. Right. They say, higher school says same thing, same argument. Okay, I'll go through it one more time. Does the birth of a thing have its cause? Yes. So therefore the thing has its cause. Right. Does the destruction of a thing have its cause? Yes. Does the destroyed thing have a cause? Yes. And they, well, I know you're probably going to say, oh, it's all the same. Okay. Now those are the two reasons they give. One is referring to karma, how karma works, and how it's stored in you, as projected by you. And the other is, it's a little more easy. Okay. And that's by parallel reasoning. Yeah.
Both Madhyamika schools say that?
Prasangika mainly. Higher school of Madhyamika. What do the other ones say? They don't accept that the past and the future are changing things. I think they might accept that they are unchanging things.
What's the name of that school?
Prasangika is the highest, and the lower is called Svatantrika. Svatantrika. Okay. Not to be confused with Saltantrika, and when Tibetan lamas say it, they say Sutantrika and Sutantrika. And so be careful, you'll get confused, okay? Okay, a little bit of formal logic. Take hope, this is your last formal logic lesson. The light's not going on, maybe we just cancel it. Too bad. Your karma changed. We're going to get into bad reasons, okay? Incorrect reasons. And if we run out of time tonight, we'll debate on Thursday, okay? Because that'll be a short class. But I think since we had the discussion with the Quaker House as early as a few hours ago, we better not push it tonight. Say, Daktanam. Daktanam. What do you think might be a good definition for Daktanam? Anybody? Tana means bad, incorrect. Okay. Stock means reason. Okay. Kepa Machu, what do you say? He says a reason where the three conditions don't hold. Tata nan kichani yata yimbata. You tell me that's the definition of a bad reason? Tata nan yata. So I guess a bad reason exists, right? Ah, tata nan yata. You hiding behind the pew. After so bravely saying, duh. Tatana yata. Yata. You telling me there is such a thing as a tatana? I can't reach you anyway. Sure. No, name any existing thing and let's talk about it. Any existing thing you want. Name any existing object. I don't care.
Flower.
Okay, flower, chuchen. Take a rose. It's an existing thing because it's a kind of flower. Tatana yimata! So I guess that's a bad reason. Flower's a bad reason. Huh? Can't keep a kinin. You just told me. You just said a flower is a bad reason. I just gave it's a good reason. Yunatana yimata! Anything that exists in the world is a good reason. Come on. What's the matter with you, Kepa Machu? Don't pretend you're reading that book. You're not dying, not even changing. Anything that exists is a good reason, I say. Any Dharma truth? Anybody want to bite? You're not dying, not even my Kepa. You're telling me that if something exists, it's not automatically a good reason? Sure. Give me any one thing that exists. Everything's a good reason. Come on, Dr. Cooper, Dr. Chen. You're not dying, dying, but carry into it. Everything that exists is a good reason. Come on. Come on, where have you guys been? Whose class were you in? Huh? Everything. Huh? Yeah, no, you may call me, you know, It doesn't matter whether it exists or not, it's a reason, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm not saying tasukupatakitini, anything I put forward is a reason. I'm saying anything that exists is a good reason, can be a good reason for some proof. That's what I'm saying. Good. So Kyabo Machu, you can't give me a reason, a definition of tatanan, because we just talked about for an hour and a half how poor old past and future didn't have any definition because they don't exist. Tatanan doesn't exist either. Unless you say they do. By the way, if you want to get slaughtered in the debate ground in Sarah Meh, by the way, anyone wants to go, you better tell me in the next few weeks, okay? In September, okay? Dedukki. Dedukki means of the particular proof. You've got to say dedukki, okay? There's no such thing as a bad reason. Anything that exists can be a good reason. In some proof, for some proof, okay? If you think of one, let me know. Thursday. Later. Or I'll prove to you why we won't be here next week. Dedukki, okay? For some, Vedrupki means for some kind of reason. Okay? In a particular reason. It's a bad reason. Three kinds, okay? I'm not gonna repeat for in a particular, okay? Say Gyawe Tantik. Gyawe Tantik. Gyawa means contradictory, as you know, because you studied Gyeongbil. Contradiction and relationship, right? Most of our relationships turn into contradiction. Anyway, Tantik means, reason, but they use a different word for reason, okay? And I think it's because they don't want to give the thing the status of being a logical reason, because it's a bad reason. So they don't seem to want to use the word reason, with something that's illogical. Tantik is another word that means a kind of a reason. How's that? All right, sort of a reason. All right. Gyawa means contradictory, and it's where the thing you're trying to prove is the absolute opposite of the thing you're giving as the reason. Okay. So give me a Dajichen, right? Dajichen Mitata Chibchen, right? Take sound. It's a changing thing because it's made. Dajichen Mitata Chibchen. Keep the subject and the reason the same. Change the second element and give me a Gyawe Tantik. Anybody? Take sound, it's... Yeah, or it's not a changing thing because it's made. Okay? And that's just contradictory. Because being made and not being a changing thing are totally contradictory. Okay? That's where the thing you give is the reason, Dak, and the Dupcheche, the thing you're trying to prove, the quality you're trying to prove, are just totally contradictory. Okay? That's easy. The dot, dot, dot means in a particular proof, right? Say mangepe tentik. Mangepe tentik. Ma means not, ngepa means definite. Okay? Let me see my example. The answer key is messed up, okay, on this one. We gotta fix that, alright? It's last question, part B, okay? 6B. It's messed up. Okay. Anyway, take sound. It's something you can hear because it's a changing thing. Take sound. It's something you can hear because it's a changing thing. Good reason? No. Why? Because it's not definite. Why? Just because something is a changing thing doesn't mean make it definite that it has to be a thing you can hear. Okay. I reversed it on the key. Okay. In both of these two examples, which of the three relationships have failed, Mr. Kabamachun? Yeah, the two necessities have failed. Okay? It's true that sound is a thing you can hear. And it's true that sound is a made thing. So the chokchu, or the relationship between the subject and the reason, holds tight. But those other two collapse. And that's what makes them bad reasons. One collapses because of the direct contradiction between two and three. And one collapses because just because something is three doesn't prove it's number two. Okay? Now, what do you guess the third kind of bad reason involves? A collapse of relationship number one. Okay? All right? And we call it, say, Madhupe Taktana. De Dubki Madhupe Taktana. A bad reason for a particular proof, because the reason doesn't work out. Meaning, the reason and the subject, something screwy there. Something wrong with the reason. Okay? I'll give you a bunch of examples. Ready? How about I give you seven examples? All you have to do is catch one of them for your homework. Okay? But these are the seven classic examples, okay? Consider a guy. What's his name? Take the guy in front of me, Jay Filler. He's suffering violently because he's been stabbed with the horn of a hare. Okay? Good reason? No, because the thing posited in position number three is doesn't exist at all. Okay? So that's the first kind of bad reason of this third type, is where the thing you give as the reason just doesn't exist at all. Okay? Got it? Take the horn of a hare. It's a changing thing because it's made. Take the horn of a hare. It's a changing thing because it's made. No, because element number one doesn't exist. Now, when you get into proving the non-existence of something, this gets very tricky. Like the non-existent of a self-existent thing doesn't exist either. But can you ever prove that? Because then you'd have a case where the subject didn't exist. Very touchy, okay? Big debate in the monastery. Okay, number three. Take sound, it's a changing thing because it's a changing thing. You hear this kind of logic daily. It's a changing thing because it's a changing thing. Okay? If the two terms are not different, it's a lousy proof. Okay? And many, many arguments that you hear throughout the day, especially at my office, were like that. Okay. Take sound, it's a changing thing because it's sound. Again, the same problem. The first element and the third element cannot be the same. Okay? It's not a proof. Okay? Take sound because it's changing. Okay? That's also not a proof. Okay? Take sound, it's a changing thing because you can see it with your eyes. Okay? That's a case where the thing you give as the reason doesn't apply to number one. True, number three doesn't apply to number one. Okay? How many we got? We got six so far. I'll give you one more. If you agree to go home on time. Twist my arm. Okay. This is a tricky one, okay, for those of you who ever get to read the original text. Take trees, they have minds because their leaves curl up and go to sleep at night. Okay? Take trees, they have minds because their leaves curl up and go to sleep at night. Okay? That's a pretty classic proof. And this is called a case where part of the reason doesn't apply to the subject. Which part? The reason is what? Because their leaves curl up and go to sleep at night. The go to sleep at night part, okay, doesn't apply to trees. That's all, okay? It's where you give like a dual reason, and part of the reason doesn't apply to the subject anymore, okay? All right? You give multiple elements in your reason and part of them don't apply to the subject. Those are seven ways in which the reason itself can be screwy. Okay? It just doesn't work out. Yeah. You can give a zillion reasons. People do, don't they? That's okay. You can keep giving reasons. You can chain the reasons. You can daisy chain the reasons. There's no problem there. Okay? Yeah. We're getting there. Okay. If the opponent doubts one of your elements, you can't use it. That's another way of kind of a bad reason. Like, sound is a changing thing because you can see hungry ghosts sitting here. Okay? Sound is a changing thing because you can see hungry ghosts sitting here. If they have doubt about one of the elements, about the very existence of one of the elements, it's a bad reason. And we do that a lot. Okay? The final kind of bad reason, and then we're done, is called bad for the school that's represented by your opponent. Okay? Bad for the school of your opponent. Okay? You can't give, and I think, you see, they give the example of a Jain arguing to a Buddhist, okay? Which we used to do a lot in the old days. And the Jain says to the Buddhist, take a tree, it has life, because it dies when you peel the bark off. Okay? Take a tree, it has a mind, because it dies when you peel the bark off. Okay? And the expression, dies when you peel the bark off, is not in Tibetan and in Sanskrit. You don't say die, you say dries up. You see what I mean? So they believe that a tree dies. And in fact, in English we use that word too. In Tibetan we don't say die, it dries up. Okay? So it would be inappropriate for a Jain to come in here and say, look, trees have minds because they die when you pull the bark off. Okay? It's not a good reason because of the school of the person that you're making the argument to. I brought this up last because I don't want you to use that kind of reason in the United States, okay? You have to stick to common ground. The reason for studying logic, the reason you came in here, the reason you took this course, hopefully, is that as Buddhists, we should be logical in our defense of Buddhism. As you'll be called on in this generation more than any other generation to defend Buddhism, you know, and it's embarrassing when you see some Americans defend Buddhism, you know. They're just as illogical as the schools they're arguing against, you know. They happen to be right, but they don't know why. Kidubjay said, all of you, this is like 5 centuries ago, you Tibetans all believe in past lives, and you all believe in future lives, and you can't give me one good reason why they exist. You just believe it because your mommy and your daddy told you so, you know. And that's the only reason. All of you Tibetans who believe in future lives, you're acting like you believe in it. You're trying to respect karma and all that, the laws of karma. But you can't give me one good reason why future lives exist. You can't prove it. You have to be able to prove things. And as a Buddhist, I mean, theoretically, you can save people's lives with Buddhism. If you didn't get it yet, the purpose of this whole courses, of all the 15 courses, is to save your life. You shouldn't. If you do these courses well, and if you keep your practice well, if you meditate well, if you do retreats, and especially if you track your vows from hour to hour, if you track your behavior, track right down every couple of hours what you're doing, and if you're keeping your vows, you will reach another realm in this lifetime. Okay? You will change, and you will go into another realm. And you don't have to die there. And your body changes and everything around you changes. You might look the same to the people around you. But you're not the same. And for you, you have already reached a different realm where you don't have to suffer anymore. Your body actually starts to get younger and then it changes completely. And you don't have to die like that. You don't have to go through that. If that's true, and by the way, that's the only goal of these classes. It's the only reason why Buddhism exists, is to reach that, okay? In one lifetime if you practice Tantra, okay? In one lifetime. It's the only reason to come to these classes. It's the only thing you really want. You can do it. Now reverse that thinking. If you fail in your presentation to people, if your presentation is lazy, or illogical, and if they And if because of that they reject Buddhism as a path, as a method, then I would say you've murdered them. In this, you know what I mean? You've destroyed their chances not to die, which is almost the same as murdering them. I mean, I had a person, I was getting a sponsor. I said, you gotta help me. You have to help me. I don't have enough money. I need money to spread this stuff, you know, I really need it. If you don't, you're almost murdering people. They didn't like that. Anyway, I still believe that. I mean, I don't, maybe it's kind of tacky to do that to your sponsor, but to tell you the truth, I really do believe it. I sincerely believe it. You know, if you don't, if you found a way or a path which by meditating short time every day very nicely, by keeping sweet, holy, sacred vows, by checking them regularly, by doing your tantric retreats properly, by doing all the practices nicely, if you could reach another realm and not die, and if you could give that gift to someone, but because you're too lazy to think it out clearly, or you don't find common ground with that person, if you lay on them ideas that they're not ready to accept, and if as a Buddhist you haven't been trained as a logician, you know. By the way, in the monastery they say tsenyipa. They don't call you a student. They call you a tsenyipa. When you get into the monastery, you're a logician. The word for the study of the five great books is tsenyi, logic, you know, reasoning. And it's because you can't help people if you can't present these things logically to people who don't accept anything of what you're getting at, you know. So really their lives are in your hands. And you have to be sensitive to what's good logic and what's lousy logic. And that's been the purpose of this course, you know. Hopefully you go use it now and be very sensitive that I think the biggest failure of Westerners is that last one we had, 10 courses, you know, many debates, many suffering, you trying to get through those readings. We came down to the last 3 minutes, okay? And the point is, be sensitive to lousy logic. Be sensitive to that the people that you're talking to belong to a different school called Western civilization. And their worldview is wrong. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for them, and they suffer through a life and they die unnecessarily. It's a tragedy. It doesn't have to happen. It could have been prevented. You know, it's like Three Mile Island or something. If the guy hadn't pushed the switch or something, you can, if you're careful and if you're well-educated, well-trained, and if you think clearly and you present Buddhism to other people logically, then you can save their lives. And that's been the purpose of this course, okay? The next course will be Lojong, which is how to have a good heart during the day, you know, all day long. And I think it's a good change of pace from all this logic stuff. And I think it's going to be a really sweet class. We already chose the text. There's some beautiful Lojong. It's like how to develop a good heart text. And I think they're very, very sweet. They're very much like parables of the West, you know, and they're very beautiful. There's something that you can use from day to day. And we'll be doing that. I think it starts around May 15th. Last thing, I think, two things. We're going to also have a transcription project going on through the break, which means we would like to get some of this stuff typed up and on the web so that people could access it throughout the country. There are about, I think 12,000 tapes have been ordered already and sent out by volunteers here. And we'd like to get everything typed so that people could access it on the web. And there'll be a search engine. So like if you don't remember how to do your water bowls, you type water bowl and it jumps to the day that it was explained. Or if you don't understand if you don't remember why the Madhyamika Prasangika thinks time works like that, you can just type in time and it'll jump to the day that time was discussed and stuff like that. But somebody has to type them in. So if you have any extra time during the break, whether it's present, past, or future, talk to Aura, okay? All right, and she'll be, it's just typing, if you don't have equipment, we can loan you equipment. It's just typing tapes out. And I think there have been about 40 people working on it, and it's going really good. It's also very good for prisoners. We have a lot of prisoners in the course, and they can't get tapes. They're not allowed to have tapes. many of the prisons don't allow tapes. So they can't continue, some of them, to study. All they get is the readings, okay? And that would be cool to send a guy in prison the readings you had, okay? So, right? So we need you, okay? So if you can help, please talk to Aura afterwards. And then we'll have a review. I think you should come to the review on Thursday if you can. And I'll do all the thank yous on Thursday, I think, okay? So we're going to hand out all the answer keys for all the homeworks, okay? We changed the policy on the answer keys. I want everyone to have them so you know the answer clearly and correctly, okay? So we'll be doing that, all right? As clear as I can make it. Okay, we'll do a short prayer.
Sāsī bhūhī jūshīne tāpṣaṁ virāvīnshī nyandē kyanpādī sāngē shindhū mithē uvāhī jōgū nāmdā shimbā
listening to The Art of Reasoning with Geshe Michael Roach, presented by the Asian Classics Institute.
The Asian Classics Institute is dedicated to preserving the pure teachings and practice of Buddhism. For a listing of other topics available, write to The Asian Classics Institute, P.O. Box 20373, New York, New York, 10009, or call 212-475-7752.